Now for a moment, let us examine several additional statements from the Origin of Evil chapter. These are statements which help us to survey the working out of the great controversy from Lucifer's fall all the way down to the end of sin. The law of love, being the foundation of the government of God, the happiness of all created beings depended upon their perfect accord with its great principles of righteousness. Here's another one. It is only in obedience to his laws that we can be happy and in harmony with our Heavenly Father. When Lucifer first became discontented, self-exalted, and jealous of Christ, the eternal, unchanging nature of the law was explained to him, as we have in this quotation right here. The heavenly councils pleaded with Lucifer. The Son of God presented before him the greatness and goodness and justice of the Creator, the sacred, unchanging nature of his law. God himself had established the order of heaven, and in departing from it, Lucifer would dishonor his Maker and bring ruin upon himself. That's an interesting quotation. You see, by setting aside his law, men are still bringing ruin upon themselves. The next reference to God's law in this chapter is startling in its application to modern apostate Protestantism and the new theology advocates in our own ranks. Concealing his real purpose under an appearance of reverence for God, Satan endeavored to excite dissatisfaction concerning the laws that governed heavenly beings, intimating that they imposed an unnecessary restraint since the natures of the angels were holy. He urged that the angels should obey the dictates of their own will. Too many are telling us that today. Lucifer's real purpose was self-exaltation. Men today want to be able to continue indulging their cherished sins while calling the process Christianity. According to modern apostate teachings, the death of Christ abolished the need for mankind to obey God's law. It is brazenly taught that men can obey the dictates of their own will and still be saved, according to this new vocabulary. To obey God becomes legalism. To do as you please is grace. Now, you know, actually, this turns it all around, doesn't it? This turns it all around. Legalism becomes obedience. Obedience becomes legalism. And Christianity is nothing more than an insipid grace. My friend, God has a better plan for us than that. We are told that the angels in heaven who accepted Lucifer's accusations could not discern the terrible consequences that would result from setting aside the divine law. Many professed Christians today do not discern it either. They imagine they can sin with impunity, for, as they say, Calvary covers it all. But ere long, they will find that they have made a great mistake. These half-converted Christians want an excuse for their sins by devising theories which assure them they will go to heaven while retaining those sins. The excuse they offer is similar to the one which Lucifer presented in heaven. He said that it was necessary that changes be made in the order and law of God's government in order to preserve harmony in heaven. Oh, my friend, let us come back to the Word of God. Let us warn our friends, our neighbors, everyone. We must obey God by faith in Jesus Christ. In Desire of Ages 761, we are told that Satan was not destroyed because the angels did not yet understand all that was involved in the great controversy. The principles at stake were to be more fully revealed. For the sake of mankind, Satan's existence must continue on. Men must also see the contrast between the prince of darkness and the prince of light. Men must have time to choose whom they would serve. And then, a little further over in Desire of Ages, we're told that when the great controversy began, the angels did not understand, and had Satan and his host been destroyed, heavenly beings would not have realized this was the inevitable result of sin. A doubt of God's goodness would have remained in their minds as evil seed to produce a deadly harvest. Quoting now, "But not so when the great controversy shall be ended. Then the plan of redemption having been completed, the character of God is revealed to all created intelligences. The precepts of his law are seen to be perfect and immutable. Then sin will have been made manifest for what its nature is. Satan, his character, the extermination of sin will then vindicate God's love and establish his honor before a universe of beings who delight to do his will and in whose heart is his law. It is obvious that God created our world and all the creatures in it. It is equally obvious that we should obey him. Yet the apostates tell us that although the rest of the universe must obey God's laws, planet Earth does not need to. They speculate that Calvary produced changes in God's government, which would remain till Christ's second advent. This is a lie, my friends. This is a lie. These self-styled theologians dare to claim that the law of God is faulty and cannot be kept, and that God himself is at fault if he requires his creatures to keep a law which cannot be kept. The implication is that God is deceptive, for he says in the Bible that obedience is required, while he has from the beginning known that it cannot be kept, since he never provided a means by which fallen humanity could obey it. Oh my. Lastly, God's word is said to be at fault, for it declares that he saves men from sin while actually saving men in sin. Please, keep this in mind, for it's important. When we accept the error that we need not or cannot implicitly obey God's word, we declare that God is at fault. The issues in the great controversy between Christ and Satan are very important. Because men enjoy sin, they invent doctrinal errors to excuse their continual enjoyment of those sins. The fault is not with God or with his law. The fault is with sin-loving people who prefer sin-accommodating teachings to the plain teachings of the Bible. In Great Controversy 498, we are told that in his dealings with sin, God could only employ righteousness and truth. Satan could use that which God could not, flattery and deceit. And I'll tell you, he's been deceiving men down here for a long time. Satan had tried to falsify the word of God. He misrepresented God's plan of government before the angels. He claimed that God was not just in requiring obedience to laws and rules. Therefore, it must be demonstrated to the inhabitants of heaven and all the worlds which God had created that his government was just, his law was perfect. The problem is with man's heart, not with God's character or his law. In order to excuse their sins, men are even willing to slander God and the rules he has made to govern his creatures. They pervert truth as they dream up false teachings which imply that God did wrong in commanding these laws to mankind. Their theories suggest that God is unfair in his dealings with men, that he is unjust to impose such laws, that he is well aware that the laws he has commanded cannot possibly be kept, and that he plans to burn in hellfire all those who try to obey them. You've read books like this. I could quote you some. We have quoted some in our tracts. Write and we'll send them to you. Actually, since the fall of Adam, men in every age have excused themselves for sinning, charging God with their sin, saying they could not keep his commandments. Now, this is an insinuation that Satan casted God in heaven. But the plea that I cannot keep the commandments need never be presented to God. For before him stands a Savior, the marks of the crucifixion upon his body, a living witness that the law can indeed be kept. It is not that men cannot keep the law, but that they will not. Really now, in reality, the rebellion by Christian apostates in our own time is only part of the age-long warfare of Satan against God's law. Satan represents God's law of love as a law of selfishness. He declares that it is impossible for us to obey its precepts. Sin is a thousand variations on the theme of selfishness and results in self-destruction. But God's law is holy, just, and good. It's our only safety, our only means of happiness. In strong contrast to Satan's basic charge that all false religions are founded on it, for each declares that it's all right to sin. The devil turns everything around. He calls right wrong and wrong right. He tries to point to the signpost to heaven in the opposite direction so that mankind will take the wrong pathway and go to perdition. He is determined to eradicate God's law from the minds of created beings. He hates God. He hates his law. To destroy the one is to destroy the other, in Satan's view. My friend, let's stand for the law of God. Let's stand for obedience to Christ through his grace, for that is the only way it can be done. From the very beginning, the basic controversy has been fought over whether God's creatures need to obey him. Now, over in Great Controversy 499, it tells us that to the very close of the controversy in heaven, Satan continued to justify himself. When it was announced he must be expelled from heaven, Satan boldly stated his contempt for the Creator's law. He said that angels needed no such control, but they should ever be left to follow their own will, which would guide them aright. Now, here's the last part of that quotation. He denounced the divine statutes as a restriction of their liberty and declared that it was his purpose to secure the abolition of law, that, freed from this restraint, the hosts of heaven might enter upon a more exalted, more glorious state of existence.